Chapter 2. The strange Verde hadn't said anything since sending off the one in green, though Jaster was pretty sure they were talking over internal comms. He took the opportunity to check in with his Verde. Growler's team had done further scans of the area and hadn't found any other beings. That was good, but they didn't know how many might be inside the mountain. The scanners built into their Bouchesse weren't strong enough to see through the thick stone, and they couldn't fetch a large scanner without risking the other Mando Ade noticing. Django's team was behind his own, closer to the edge of the mountain. They had been providing air support, but landed when everyone sheathed their weapons.
"Do you think they're telling the truth, Alor?"
Django asked. Jaster hesitated before answering. "I am very curious to hear how they have the Dakar Ao, but they haven't made any offensive moves, only defensive. And the Verdica in green seemed genuinely surprised to hear who I was. It's possible that from one of the Rogue Ad Elite and haven't been paying attention to Mando Ad politics."
"They knew Pre Vizsla,"
Django reminded him. "But not Tor," Jaster said. It was certainly a bizarre assortment of knowledge to have, if they were telling the truth. "Does anyone recognize their clan signet?" he asked. A momentary pause, then Django's friend Miles spoke up.
"Looks like a Minok, Mandalore. Though I don't know of any clan that uses that signet."
Jaster hummed an acknowledgement. The door the Verdicat had slipped through swung open, and immediately everyone was on alert again, hands hovering over their weapons. A Mando Ad in unpainted Beskar Gam emerged, striding purposely toward them, their own hand hovering above the grip of their blaster. Jaster didn't recognize them. The Mando Ad glanced at each of their clan members, checking them over, then planted themselves directly between the two groups. Jaster's eyes were drawn to their belt, where the Dakar Ao was somehow hanging. The one in red and blue must have passed the weapon off to the one in green without any of his Verde noticing. "Clever Verdicasse," he murmured, before activating his external comms and saying,
"Sukhoi-Gar." "Sukhoi-Gar,"
the Mando Ad replied warily. Over the internal comms, Jaster's teammate Baveen said,
"They reference multiple Alore. Keep an eye out for the other."
Jaster smiled at his Verde's competence.
"We heard reports that there were Mando Ade in this area,"
he told the unknown Alore.
"Are you affiliated with Kirt Zad?" "Naish,"
they said, speaking with a calm confidence that Jaster was inclined to believe.
"Then how did you come to be in possession of the Dakar Ao?"
he pressed. The Mando Ad paused. The door in the mountainside burst open, and Jaster quickly raised his hand in a quelling motion, anticipating that the surprise might shock Django and the other young Verde into drawing their weapons. A large Mando Ad raced out of the doorway, the Verdica in green close on his heels, carrying, Jaster squinted, an Ikad. Well, that was a point for not Kirt Zad. Unlike the first Alore, the second barely gave Jaster and his Verde a glance before hurrying over to their clan members and searching them for injuries. The Alore in unpainted Beskar sighed almost inaudibly. Jaster raised one eyebrow, a smile tugging at the corner of his mouth. He was getting an inkling of how these Mando Ade were related. Though the two Alore hadn't exchanged vambraces, it was possible they simply didn't practice that tradition. Only when the second Alore was satisfied that no one was hurt, did they join their fellow Alore in front of Jaster.
"Sukhoi-Gar,"
Jaster said again.
"Sukhoi-Gar,"
the new Alore said. Their armor was painted a dark green, matching only the paint on their fellow Alore's armor, a set of jade eyes.
"Nergai Jaster Muriel,"
Jaster said, deciding to include some pleasantries before diving back into questioning. Plus, if he could learn these Mando Ade's clan and house, it would be easier to identify their loyalties. He pulled off his boucher, tucking it under his arm. "Clan and House Muriel. Mandalore. He, him." There was a moment's pause.
"I am called Dral Ghanae,"
the Alore with unpainted Beskar Gam said.
"He, him." Darpon,
the second Allure said.
He, him.
Neither moved to remove their bouchese. Jester's eyes shot up even as he nodded in understanding. Traditionalists. That could certainly help explain their spotty information. You said you're not affiliated with Kirtzat, he said. Could you explain how you came in possession of the Dark Hadao?
What makes you think I have the Dark Hadao?
Dragone replied steadily. Jaster couldn't help the snort that escaped him. Your Ade are clever, getting it back to you without us noticing, he said, taking a glance at their clan structure. But we saw them using it when we were flying in. The Allure stiffened. Their clan members visibly cringed. Ha! Jaster fought down a grin. Definitely Ade.
I won the Dark Hadao in a fight against an Aburati,
Dragone explained stiffly.
I don't know how he got it.
Jaster straightened. He hadn't heard anything about Vizsla losing the Dark Hadao. But then again, he wouldn't advertise that it was gone, given that his entire claim as Mandalore was based on his possession of the weapon. If he could advertise that Vizsla no longer had the Dark Hadao, he might finally get the support of the more reticent clans. And if he had the support of the new wielder... Do you plan to claim the position of Mandalore? He asked. These Mando Ade might not be Kirtzad, but they were traditionalists. While Jaster and most of the Ha'ade didn't put much stock in the Dark Hadao's power, traditionalists very well could. To his surprise, Dragone scoffed.
Naish,
he said, with much more passion than Jaster anticipated.
I don't want to be a Mandalore. I am a Bear Uya and have an elite to care for.
Well, that was a relief. Jaster smiled at the Mando Ade. I'm glad to hear that, he said honestly. Dragone eyed him, shifting warily.
If you challenge me for the Dark Hadao, I'll accept,
he told him.
I would just ask for the fight to be until surrender, not death.
Jaster blinked. He didn't like the resigned set to the man's shoulders, as if he expected Jaster to kill him for the weapon regardless. Clearly there had been a misunderstanding. I have no desire to challenge you, he said. Dragone's head jerked in clear shock.
You don't?
He finally asked. Jaster shook his head. I and most of those who follow me don't put much stock in the power of a sword to denote government, he said, a bit dryly. I was elected. I don't need to prove my claim. Dragone sagged a little in relief, as did the rest of his elite. Jaster hadn't noticed quite how close to violence the Ade had been until they weren't anymore, as focused on the Allure as he had been. Seeing his Verde relax in turn showed that he wasn't the only one who hadn't noticed, though. Jaster felt a little bad about what he was going to say next. However, the Mando Ade stiffened right back up again. Jaster was quick to finish his sentence. There are a number of clans that have refrained from joining the Ha'ade or Kirtzad, waiting to see who will be successful. If I had the support of the wielder of the Dark Hadao, they may join us. Dragone looked at him for a long moment.
What are you proposing?
He finally asked. Reports of your presence only go back a few months, Jaster said promptly. My assumption is that you're new to the area. My second assumption is that this compound, which is clearly ancient, is not particularly comfortable. I would offer you a place on Concord Dawn, where the Hu'ade are based. We are in the process of expanding anyway, and we have a number of clan compounds you can choose from. In exchange, I would ask that you attend a few meetings, showing that you are the new wielder of the Dark Hadao and that I have your support. If you are not interested, we will leave you in peace and not bother you again. We will tell no one of your location. There was a moment of silence.
I would need to discuss it with my elite,
Dragone said slowly. Of course, Jaster agreed easily. What say we reconvene in 2 hours?
That would be sufficient.
Excellent. Jaster pulled his boucher back on.
I look forward to hearing your answer.
With a final nod, he turned back to his Verde, making the hand signal to form up in the air. The hiss whoosh of a dozen Centrace filled the air, and he took off, heading for the other side of the mountain. It wasn't worth the distance or fuel to go all the way back to the ship, but he didn't want the elite to feel rushed or crowded. The delay would allow them time to rest and eat, and he could contact Montrose to work out the potential change of plans. If Dragone agreed, Jaster wouldn't be wasting his time on a simple contract, he'd be heading right back to Concord Dawn to finally strike a major blow against Vizsla. Montrose could handle the contract. He'd even let Django go along, if the Odd insisted, even if he'd planned to be present for Django's first time leading a unit. It was a milk run, anyway, with low risk and a high chance for success. He'd be doing more to protect his Odd by working to end Kyrt Zod. The Dozen Verde disappeared from view. Din slowly turned to look at his elite. Dick was staring right back. Jason had his arms folded and his boucher tilted stubbornly toward the ground, and the rest of them were trying to hide behind their taller Vode.
"Inside," Bruce growled.
The Ade hightailed it inside. Din looked at his Vod. Bruce was opening and closing his fists in time to deep, calming breaths. He was muttering rapidly under his breath. Din shifted a bit closer and heard,
"You love your Ade. You don't believe in punishment spars. You love your Ade. You do not believe in punishment spars, even if they're being decouté and could use some sense knocked into them."
Din snorted. Bruce looked at him.
"I'd be taking their weapons and their carking bouchese if we were in a secure location," he said.
Din hummed.
"If Jaster's offer is legitimate, you may still get the chance," he said.
Bruce's shoulders shifted thoughtfully.
"Do you think it is?"
Din tilted his head from side to side.
"I want to hear what Natra thinks, and what Vorpahn knows about Mareel, but I'm inclined to. He seemed genuine." "Well,"
Bruce rolled his shoulders a little.
"Let's go ask them." "After we're done lecturing them?"
Din asked wryly.
"Obviously."
The Ade had clustered in the largest room of the compound, which they'd been using as a sort of entertainment and training room. A Kubikod board had been scratched into the stone in one corner, the few chairs the compound boasted were scattered around, and some of the Ade had gone and collected armfuls of pine needles to form other makeshift seating. None of the Ade were taking advantage of these amenities, clustered together tightly in the middle of the room. They'd removed their bouchese, and six pairs of eyes locked onto Din and Bruce as they entered. Grogu was still in Tim's arms. He looked around the group, obviously sensing the tension. He squirmed, and after a moment, Tim caved and put him down. Grogu waddled over to Din, ducking behind his legs and peering out his Bavode. Din attached his own boucher to his belt and folded his arm, staring the Ade down. The tension grew until finally Damien spoke up from behind Jason. "It was Timothy's idea." Tim bristled. The others opened their mouths, and Din really wasn't in the mood to get pelted with a bunch of excuses. "Gev," he snapped. The Ade froze. "It doesn't matter whose idea this was. You all participated." Their eyes skittered away guiltily.
"You realize this could have gone much, much worse," Bruce asked. "If Mareel did care about the Da'Kadao, he could have killed your Babadu, or whichever one of you was holding it at the time."
The Ade flinched. Bruce took a deep breath, clearly trying to let go of the fear of his chest, the thought of waking up to find his Ade dead because he hadn't been paying attention. "I was the one using it," Dick said quietly, meeting their gazes steadily. "The others didn't. Ne paravu, takisi." Din looked at the others, raising an eyebrow. "Is that true?" He knew it wasn't the whole truth, but he wanted to see if they'd admit it. If not, he and Bruce would have bigger problems than a stupid stunt. Jason shifted, then finally looked up from the floor, glowering.
"Technically," he said. "That's because Dick wouldn't let us touch it before he figured out if it was safe."
"We were all planning on using it," Steph agreed, glancing up at them before looking away. "He went first because he has the best instinct for new weapons." Tim, Damien, and Cass nodded, and they all muttered their own apologies. Well, that was something. If they were going to do something stupid, at least they went about it in a not entirely stupid way.
"It was foolish," Din said firmly. "You could have easily hurt yourself. I've burned myself on the Da'Kadao before, and that's with pure Beskar Gom. You could have easily lost a limb." "We have rules around the use of an unfamiliar weaponry for a reason," Bruce added. He looked at his older children. You have all passed your Vergotene. You know better. He looked at Damien. And even though you have not passed your Vergotene, you know better. He folded his arms. Clearly you all need some remedial training. The Ade's faces fell. Jason looked like he was about to groan before he caught Din's eyes and swallowed the complaint. Going through beginner katas while getting your form nitpicked for hours wasn't fun, but that was the whole point. It wasn't like Din and Bruce didn't have better things to do either. And none of you will be touching the Da Kadao unless you have my explicit permission, Din said, meeting all of their eyes. Tylee Bach? Elek, Alor, the Ade murmured. Good. Din glanced at Bruce, who nodded. Your Buir and I will discuss this more later. For now, we have a deadline. Tim, what do you know about Mareel? Tim straightened, his hands still twisting together nervously. He was Mandalore in 50s BBY, in one of the main groups fighting for control of Mandalore. He was mostly fighting Kirt Zad because they were actual terrorists, but he opposed Etvart Zad too. Do you think we can trust his word? Tim thought about it. If what I read about him was true, he said. The records were incomplete. Etvart Zad didn't want people thinking about their opposition, so they destroyed a lot. But there were several fragments talking about honor being important to him and his faction. And my parents had the information locked up real securely, so it wasn't the Empire's version of events. Din nodded.
And what did you think of him? Bruce asked Cass. Did his offer seem genuine?
Cass nodded. Didn't want sword, she signed. Honestly offered home.
All right, Din said, sitting down on one of the chairs and gesturing for his Ade to follow suit.
He scooped Grogu up and settled the Eek God on his lap.
Let's go over our options. What would be the benefits of accepting Mareel's offer? Bruce asked.
The Ade exchanged glances. We'd have a proper house instead of a glorified cave system, Steph offered. It'd be more comfortable, warmer, and we'd have better access to food, water, and other supplies.
We'd be around other Mando Ade, Damien added. We would stand out less and could form alliances to protect ourselves better.
Safer between jobs, Cass signed. Better for Grogu and Damien. Being around other Mando Ade would let us learn more about our culture firsthand, Tim said.
And we could learn new combat styles from them, Jason added.
If Mareel wants a show of support from you, Dick said slowly, our position would likely remain secure for a while. And if he's as honorable as the records say, he won't turn us out even when he doesn't need your support anymore.
It could also give you the chance to join a school, Bruce said, glancing over his younger Ade.
It had been a while since they'd had that opportunity. Ever since the covert had been destroyed, Bruce had been keeping up their educations as well as he could, but it was difficult to balance alongside hunting for bounties and constantly traveling.
Din nodded. All good points, he said. Having a safe place to stay would also let us focus on getting our bearings in this time. What would be the problems with accepting the offer?
We don't know for sure if Mareel is trustworthy, Dick said promptly. It could be a trap of some sort.
Even if it's not a trap, he doesn't follow the way, Jason pointed out. We would be around other Mando Ade, yes, but if they don't respect our beliefs, that could be more of a problem than a benefit.
He wants you to show him public support, Steph said, looking at Din. That means his enemies might target you. Kirt Zad might try to take the Da Kadao, or Etvart Zad might target you to reduce Marilla's chances of overthrowing them.
Secrecy is survival, Cass agreed solemnly. He might expect more than he is saying, Damien said slowly. What if he wants you to swear loyalty to him, instead of just standing beside him with the Da Kadao?
We'd have less flexibility, Din added. Being on an organized planet means getting approval for flight paths and takeoffs. Even if no one targets Din directly, they could launch an attack on the planet, Bruce said heavily. We would be willingly entering a territory under civil war.
Din tilted his head in acknowledgement. Tim, do you know if there were any recorded attacks on Concord Dawn? Tim scrunched his face in thought. I don't know. I don't remember the planet being mentioned in any records, but that could just mean the reports of attacks were destroyed, he finally said.
He bit his lip and looked down. Ne paravu.
Din shook his head. No, that's not your fault. You helped us a lot today with what you do know.
Tim brightened a little.
Any other downsides? Bruce asked.
The Ade frowned in thought, shaking their heads one by one. Tim cleared his throat a little. If we have traveled to the past, there might currently be two Dakadause, he said quietly. If Vizsla still has his, Muriel might think we were trying to deceive him.
They all considered that for a moment.
We can't know that's true until Vizsla shows himself, Bruce decided. We've already established that Din won the Dakadau from an Arati and don't know where he got it, so we can stick to that story. Muriel may even be happy to hear there are two, as it further weakens Vizsla's claim.
Din nodded. We will cross that bridge if we come to it, he agreed.
Bruce and Din exchanged looks. They had time before Muriel returned.
We should eat before they return, Bruce said, standing.
They didn't have much, just ration bars and a few nuts and berries scavenged from the forest, but it would renew their strength and clear their minds. He looked at each of his Ade.
Use this time to think about our options. Your Babadu and I will take your opinions into account when making our final decision.
When the 2 hours were over, Jaster arrived back on the ledge with his and Django's fire teams. He decided against leaving Django's team behind. The traditionalists were deservedly jumpy, and he didn't want them worrying about where half his Verde might have gone. Ryler and her team were still out of sight, though they had been joined by the shuttle he'd ordered to make transporting the Mando Ade to the ship easier if they accepted his offer. The Elite was waiting for him.
Sukhoi Gar,
he said, pulling off his boucher and smiling at them.
Have you made a decision?
We have a few questions, if that's all right,
Darpan said. Jaster nodded. Of course. They could be planning to get intelligence on him or Concord Dawn to relay to Kirt Zad, but he didn't think so. He was a decent judge of character, and the traditionalist Mando Ade seemed genuine.
If we were to join you on your planet, we would be putting ourselves in the midst of a three-way civil war,
Darpan said.
How can we know Concord Dawn is safe for our elite?
A reasonable question, if one of the more suspicious ones they could have asked. Jester's Verde didn't move, but he knew them well enough to sense their unease.
Avart Zad have no spine or teeth, Jaster said. They are so devoted to their peace that they have melted their best gargam and destroyed their weapons.
The Mando Ade jerked, their body language screaming in horror at the idea. Jaster nodded grimly.
We don't have to fear an attack from that flank, he said.
They will happily commit genocide in every other way, but they refuse to sully their hands with killing. Darpan visibly shook himself.
And Kirt Zad.
They have attacked Concord Dawn once, Jaster said honestly. Before the Hu'ade built our compounds there. They were soundly defeated, to the point we thought them destroyed for many years.
We now have many layers of defense to detect any attacks that may approach the planet, including scanners, checkpoints, and Verde stationed in every town.
That was all basic information, the kind that any enemy would assume, so there was no danger in sharing it. But it may be enough to convince them. Darpan inclined his head in thanks. His fellow Allure spoke up next.
Would I have to swear allegiance to you as part of these meetings and displays?
Jaster had considered that, but he didn't want the man to feel pressured. He wasn't Vizsla. He wanted his people to choose him voluntarily. If he did his job well as Mandalore, they may one day choose to swear allegiance themselves. Until that day, he would not require it.
No, he said. I will not require your oath, only your presence.
Dragane looked at him consideringly.
A final question,
Darpan interjected.
We follow the way. We have no quarrel with those who do not. Would those on Concord Dawn take issue with us?
No, Jaster said immediately. This answer easy. We have some traditionalist elite on Concord Dawn already. Your way would be respected. The Mando Ade seemed pleased, but still wary. Jaster couldn't blame them. All Mando Ade were seen as strange throughout the galaxy, and traditionalists even more so. He had seen the harassment some of his traditionalist Verde faced. "We haven't had any trouble in the past," he added. "But if anyone does give you trouble, you may report it to any of my Verde or me directly, and we will put a stop to it." The Mando Ade straightened a little, inclining their helmets in a gesture of gratitude and respect. "Do you have any more questions?" Jaster asked. The Allure glanced at each other briefly.
"No,"
Draugane said. Jaster nodded. "I would be willing to swear to everything I have said," he offered. "I would appreciate it if you would swear that you are accepting my offer in good faith and do not mean any harm to the Hu'ade or the people of Concord Dawn." There was a moment's pause as the Allure presumably checked in with their elite over internal comms. Jaster waited patiently. It was a good Allure who made sure their dependents were comfortable before swearing any oath, even one as simple as this.
"We are willing,"
Darpon said. Jaster inclined his head solemnly. "Then as Mandalore, I hereby swear that all I have told you is true. I offer you a clan compound on the planet of Concord Dawn, which is highly defended from outside attack, in exchange for your appearance at my side as wielder of the Da Kadao. You will not be forced to swear allegiance to me, and your way will be respected. Hu Aja Hait." Draugane stepped forward a little.
"As Allure of my clan, I hereby swear that we accept this offer in good faith and do not mean any harm to the Hu'ade or the people of Concord Dawn." "Hut Ija Hai,"
the whole elite chorused. Jaster solemnly clasped forearms with Draugane and Darpon and nodded to the rest of the elite. Then he stepped back and grinned. "Ola Robe, do you need any help packing?" The end. Author's notes. I've been experimenting with the Mandoa names for the different factions of the Mandalorians, since technically only Kirtzad has an official translation. Hu'ade is a pretty established fanon for true Mandalorians. I like that a lot and it makes sense, so we're leaving that one alone. For the new Mandalorians, I've seen Evar Mandoade and Evar La Mandoade, which are both pretty direct translations. They're clunky, though, so I considered cutting them to Evar Ade. However, it occurred to me that the other Mandalorian factions, who use Mandoa a lot more than the new Mandalorians, if I recall correctly, widely consider the new Mandalorians Darmanda. So would they really have their Mandoa name include Mando Ade or Ade? I don't think so. So I decided to use the Zod suffix, which means group slash alliance slash society, also used by Kirt Zod, to make Evart Zod. Finally, the old Mandalorians, those who were kicked off Mandalore by the new Mandalorians, but instead of fighting back like Kirtzad or the Hu'ade, just it left entirely and formed their own groups on other planets, is a pretty straightforward translation. Rugade. Rug means old, and they still uphold Mandalorian tradition, so I think they'd keep the Ade suffix. I decided to leave off the adjective suffix La in both Evartzad and Rugade because they do the same thing with Hu'ade, and it makes them less clunky. Podfickers notes. The author does mention in the original author notes why they had used a different form or a different word for a cousin, which was Juvad, and they had gotten that from a website. But I use a Mandoa dictionary, and Bavad or Bavare is cousin. And so I just used that because otherwise the fic is like really good with proper Mandalorian language structure, all of that. Like, the author does such an incredible job. But because they call their uncle Babadu, and I figured it would just be best if they're using the traditional term for uncle to use the traditional term for cousin. So that's just kind of what I chose to do. And I hope that that's okay.
I'm really sorry if it's not to the author. It's a little thing of mine. Like, I just wanted it to be consistent, I guess. So, but yeah, that's it. So the end for real. And thanks. Bye.